Your eyes.
This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
Oh, what a week it is, Beamer. We are in it. We are back, baby. Premier League. It's here. It's finally here.
Catch the fever. Here we go. Another long, arduous season in which we will have a World Cup smack dab right in the middle of it.
This is going to be one of the weirder Premier League seasons there's ever been because of that fact. Usually, you know, obviously we have the World Cup in the summer. Mm-hmm. Everyone recovers. And then you go straight through the Premier League. 38 weeks of games. Pretty great situation there. Unfortunately, or whatever you want. I don't know if it's unfortunate. It's just, it's all jammed in there now. And of course, we're going to have to deal with all that. So,
well, you know what? They're going to have to deal.
That's true. We just get to watch a crap load of soccer.
Yeah.
More than we usually, like in a World Cup year, you usually have the summer full of soccer. We've had that with MLS and with, you know, the women's Euros mm-hmm. and things like that. But we haven't had the World Cup, the men's World Cup didn't happen. Now that's going to be squeezed in alongside Champions League soccer, mm-hmm. Europa League, and of course, all the domestic leagues, including this Premier League. So today, if you can't tell, we're going to talk quite a bit about the Premier League, do our 2022-2023 season preview. That's the first time I've said 2023 about a thing. I just dawned on me that like now we're heading towards 2023 already, and that's really surprising. So
I was, you know, a few weeks ago when we were in the middle of July, and I'm like, man, we should be having World Cup games and should be into the cup final. And now that we're getting ready and have turned the page to August, I'm kind of excited that, I mean, I was going to be excited about the World Cup no matter what. Now you just think of like the amount of games that you're going to have in these next few months. Of course, we'll have the crew wrapping up their season, hopefully charging into the playoffs, getting hot at the right time. We'll have the Premier League getting underway, like you mentioned. You're going to have the World Cup smack dab right into the middle of it. Like, it's going to be drinking from a fire hose out of our proverbial soccer watching, man. So whatever watering hole you go to watch English Premier Leagues, or if you sit at home and watch it on your couch in the mornings, it should be a fun season. So very, very excited to get into it.
Absolutely. Can't wait for that. And of course, you know, we love going to Zaftig Italian Village. We talk about them all the time. That is also a great place to be watching these games. But just, I will say that for those who are new to this, and I hope that with this podcast, we want this to be something that helps out people maybe who are a little bit newer to soccer. Mm-hmm. And maybe you hear us talking on the, you know, on the fan.
Because it's confusing. Their schedule is confusing over there. So, yeah, we got a nice primer for you.
Yeah, this is our goal of this is if you're a hardcore soccer fan, maybe this is the episode you'd like tell a buddy about who's like, man, I really want to know more about the Premier League or I want to get into it this year. Well, tell them about this podcast at least, and maybe that'll help them out a little bit. So just to kind of get the basics out of the way, the Premier League, I said it earlier, 38 weeks. Why is that? They play every team. Mm-hmm. There's 20 teams in the Premier League. So your team plays 19 other teams.
Yep.
Whatever team you pick that's your team. 19 other teams are going to be their opponent. They play every opponent twice. Once at home, once away. So theoretically, there's no advantage of home field versus away schedule.
Correct.
Nope. Everyone gets the same thing. You've got to go play Manchester United twice. They play at your place, you play at their place.
And you beat them.
And you beat them at both places.
Like Liverpool last year on an aggregate score of 9-0.
Hey, I wasn't going to get there right yet, mm-hmm. but that's fine. So, yes, that is 38 games. That's how that works. As you probably are aware, if you're new to soccer, you know there's promotion relegation. The bottom three teams go down every season in the Premier League, and the top three from the league next door, the championship, the second division, top three get promoted. So who is that this year? Well, last season, you had Burnley, mm-hmm. which was up there for 6 years. They finally got relegated. Watford and Norwich City both had just gotten back up to the Premier League, and back down. My Watford last year, I adopted them for the year, and it didn't go well. I adopted Fulham a couple years ago. That didn't go so well either.
That was 2 years ago.
That's right. And we'll get to who I've adopted this year. We'll get there in a sec. We'll talk about it.
And, the curse of which you have imposed on them.
Well, we'll talk about how, yes, it fits right in with what I usually do, is picking a team that's going to be right in the thick of that relegation battle. But we'll get there in a second. The promoted teams this year are, previously mentioned, Fulham. They are back after a year down. They've come back up now. Bournemouth, good to see them back. They're a team that also went down, I want to say, prior to last year.
Yep.
And they've now made it back up. So they've been both absent for a year. And then that third team, Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
That is a previously in the Premier League team.
Good. Good team.
Do you know how many years it's been since they were in the top flight?
Ooh. Mid-2000s?
No. Longer
Earlier than that.
It's been 23 years.
Wow.
Since Nottingham Forest was back up
1999,
here.
Huh?
Yeah. That is the longest absence for a previous Premier League club in the Premier League era to date. So, Nottingham Forest is certainly one that I could see if you are looking for a team to adopt and you want the pluckiest of plucky underdogs and you want a team that literally is based in a children's fairy tale, right? Nottingham Forest. I mean, the sheriff of Nottingham Forest, right? Robin Hood. Go. Let's hope Nottingham Forest can steal from the rich and give to themselves, a.k.a. the poor, because they are the poor of the Premier League, right? All these teams that I just mentioned, Fulham, Bournemouth, Nottingham Forest, there are more that we will talk about later. These are kind of the, if you're looking for the team that's, God, it'd be awesome if they could just stay up.
If you're looking for a long-term play, this is it. This is it for you.
What do you mean a long-term play?
I'm saying a long-term play as in you have the illusions of grandeur and perhaps you can build into something.
That's true.
Like we saw at Leicester City a few years ago with that miraculous title run. Or you can go on the bone spectrum and just be miserably disappointed each and every year with your team getting relegated. A quick fact on Nottingham Forest. So we did this on Twitter a couple of weeks ago. At Bone Beam United is where you can follow on Twitter. We put together a list of all of the supporters groups based here in Central Ohio. There is a brand new one for Nottingham Forest. If you are interested in becoming a fan of theirs, they are on Twitter at NFFC_Ohio. And again, you can head to our Twitter account. We have a lot. We get some great feedback on all these local supporters groups.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, if you're new to the Premier League or you want to get into it, or you're thinking, hey, the World Cup's coming up, I want to watch some more soccer than just the World Cup.
We've
I really want to get
here
it.
Here in the city that will do
how
that.
How many supporters groups did you get on that Twitter feed? Because I counted, I think it was at least 10. Like, what I'm saying by this, for those of you that are new to it, there are at least 10 different groups of people who will regularly get up, and that word too, regularly get up at, you know, 7 a.m., 8 a.m., 10 a.m., whatever time their game is in the morning, Saturdays and Sundays, usually when these games are, they will go to a soccer bar, and a lot of them will have a soccer bar already carved out that's like, this is our spot every week, and they promise to put the game on. These groups will meet, and they're just there to watch that team, whether it's Chelsea, Liverpool, obviously Manchester United, that's the one that Beamer goes to a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They meet at Zaftig, where we like to go, but tell me some of the groups that you've got that you saw on there.
So I rattled this off on Twitter again a couple of weeks ago. We've got a Chelsea one, of course, which is, I think it's based up in Fado. You have an Everton supporters group, Liverpool, City, United, Nottingham Forest, Tottenham, Arsenal, Villa, Bournemouth, Leicester City, and West Ham. That brings the count at least to what we've had interactions with to 12.
12
out of the 20 teams that are in the Premier League have supporters groups. So if you're interested in being a fan of one of those teams, that is where you can go. Head to our Twitter account. We posted that list a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, so I would definitely recommend if you're new to soccer, go watch it at a soccer bar with a group of people. And if you've got a team in mind, maybe you saw, like you heard Beam said Tottenham, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like, best thing you could do. Let's say Tottenham, you're like, you know what? They sound good, right? I heard they're in Champions League this year. Yep. That's cool. All right, I'm going to root for Tottenham. Awesome.
Then, sorry about your decision.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's right, Manchester United boys. Sorry about your decision. That's right. No, but what I would say is reach out on Twitter. Go find us at Bone Beam United.
Mm-hmm.
Go hit up that Twitter thread and then click on that Tottenham supporters group and just like reply to them and be like, hey guys, I'm excited for the season. When and where? What are we doing? And they will be, I'm going to guess, any of these groups will be so happy to have you come out, especially if you tell them, like, I don't watch a lot of soccer, but I want to get into it this year. they will have you hooked up when you get to the bar, at least as far as giving you any information you want. If you tell them, hey, I don't know a lot about this, I'm trying to learn, there will be, I'm sure, eager people to come out and tell you whatever you want to know about that club. So it'll be a good way for you to watch. Or if you just want to kind of check it out incognito, blend in, see what's going on, you could do that too. I get it. But, yeah, definitely recommend watching it with some supporters at a bar so you can really learn a little bit about whatever team you're going to pick if it's a team that has a supporters group here in town.
So you mentioned the promotion and relegation structure of the Premier League. And again, quick primer for people who are just getting into the game. The way that it is tiered in England is basically the same way if you want to watch German soccer, if you want to watch Italian soccer, if you want to watch French soccer, whatever. It's basically tiered off the same exact way when it comes to every domestic league in Europe. There is one home game. There is one away game that is played. A victory is 3 points.
A draw
is 1 point. A loss, of course, is 0 points. You play 38 matches, at least taking the Premier League, for example. The winner of the Premier League has the most points accumulated throughout the entire season.
That's
how you decide a champion.
Yes.
It is very easy to understand from that point of view what they are playing for in their domestic league.
Yeah. So, again, like in a league like the Premier League where they play 38 games and you play, winner gets 3 points. If you win undefeated, the max points you can get is 114.
Will never happen.
Will never happen. It's too competitive, right? But Liverpool recently got to 90 points a couple years ago. Last year, Manchester City also got to 90. They were 92. But to give you, Liverpool got to 92. Manchester City got to 93. Yeah. So, like, jeez. I mean, again, that's how good those teams are. And just to put that in perspective, if you're new to soccer, Manchester City, 93 points. Liverpool, 92 points. It came down to the final weekend. Mm-hmm. We had a blast watching all these games. Manchester United boy over here was rooting for his arch rivals, Liverpool, for some reason. Rooting for his arch rivals, Manchester City, because Liverpool is their bigger arch rival, which is still bizarre to me. But Chelsea was third. I said Liverpool at second had 92 points.
Yeah.
Chelsea had 74. Mm-hmm. They were almost 20 points behind. They were the equivalent of six games behind in a season where you only play 38 of them. So that's how disparate the talent is between Manchester City, Liverpool, and everybody else.
I've just seen the most insane goal I have ever seen.
Now back to Bone and Beam United.
Chelsea also, for their part, fell apart a little bit down the stretch last year, and I don't know if all the additions they've made this year are going to fix that. But they've also missed out, Chelsea did, on some of the guys that they wanted to bring in.
They had a big thing going on last year with their owner.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too. And that is all settled, and that will be a little bit of a... But I think that affected their...
No doubt. Their
transfer window, because...
No doubt.
Transfer window, again, we're using terms, if you're new to soccer, transfer window is essentially off-season.
Yes, when you can buy and sell players. There is a transfer window that we are currently in, which happens during the summer.
Yes.
And that is a window in which you can go procure players, put them on your team. You use cash to buy the rights of the player, then negotiate contracts with. And then there is also a winter transfer window down the road if you need some other
additions. Middle of the season. Yes. So just like in the off-season of most sports in America, right, you have the off-season where free agency opens up. This is essentially like that. I mean, it's not quite, because there... You don't see a lot of trades happen in soccer. What you see is, because again, you have the English Premier League, you have, you know, all these other leagues in Europe, right? La Liga, you have Ligue 1 in France, you have the German Bundesliga, you have Serie A in Italy. They have guys in each of those leagues that are top of the world level players.
Yes.
And there's a, you know, probably two dozen teams that qualify as elite world caliber type of teams in those domestic leagues. So each league probably has a handful to, you know, in some leagues might only be two, some might have five, but these teams all fancy themselves like, we're the best in the world.
Correct.
We're better than anybody in England. We're better than anybody else in Europe. We think we can be the best. So those players then usually go between those teams because they're also looking to go play for the best teams. They're not trying to play for some team that's going to like barely qualify for anything. They don't want to play for a team that's going to fight for relegation. And those teams that are fighting for relegation typically don't have the budgets to go buy these big name players. So instead of trading, let's say, like, you know, the Yankees and, I don't know, the Diamondbacks might make a trade, right? That's not really how this works in soccer. Instead, what you're going to have is We want that player from Bayern Munich. We're Real Madrid. We want that player to come from Germany to come play in Spain for Real Madrid. Well, the player has to want to do that, number one. And then he has to have a release clause that allows him to get out of the deal. Usually that release clause is triggered by a certain amount of money being paid to the team he plays for now.
Correct.
So you don't trade them players, you trade them money.
Yep.
And then that money is what releases him to then go sign with your team for even more gobs of money.
Yes.
So
the gobs of money that you send to the team does not include the gobs of money that you pay to the player for his actual contract.
Right. So you might hear something like, oh, that player's on, you know, they brought in a 25 million pound player, or like that guy, you know, he's making 30, or they signed him for 30 million euros this offseason. All that means is they paid the other team 25, 30, 50, 100 million. We've seen plenty of those transfers, well over 100 million euros, where that amount of money is getting transferred to one team for one player to come back, and then they sign that player to probably even more money than the transfer. So that is what we talk about. So if you hear transfer window, it just means basically free agency / trade deadline. The transfer window closes, I think, late in the summer, like August.
Late August.
End August, early September, something like that. And then then no one can really move like that until the winter transfer window, which opens up in January.
Yes.
And so you will hear player teams will say, let's say a team gets off to a bad start. I don't know. Arsenal was pretty good last year. They look like they might be a team that this year could challenge for a top four spot. Let's say Arsenal gets off to an awful start.
Yeah.
You will likely hear someone say, well, and someone usually with a British accent, oh, and they're stuck until at least January when the transfer window opens. Like they can't get anybody to help them until the winter transfer window,
correct,
right?
Your team is set.
Yeah. So unlike in, let's say, the NHL, where you've got a trade deadline where you can trade up until that point, in soccer, you literally have to go 2, 3, 4 months if you're bad before you can add reinforcements to hopefully salvage your season. So,
which is why you see so much turnover in coaching as well.
Because then it's right. If you can't get the guys to come there, it might be because you have a terrible manager and they don't want to play for him. So then they'll say, all right, let's sack the manager, aka let's fire the manager. Yes. There will be a team that will fire a manager before Christmas.
Oh, there might be multiple.
Multiple teams,
there
probably.
There usually is multiple.
Yeah, I mean, that's just how this works. Before we get to New Year's Day, there might be multiple teams in the Premier League who have changed managers. It's not totally unheard of to see a team have three managers in a year in the Premier League. So it can be a little weird in that way. All right, so we've talked a lot about kind of how the Premier League works and giving you some just background on what all this is.
By the way, another point of that, which is a lot of the questions that I get asked, like it's too confusing to follow. We've laid out the Premier League structure, and I think a lot of where confusion comes with this are midweek games and cup fixtures. Okay, so if you are watching, if you decide, whatever, I'm going to cheer for, take Tottenham, for example.
Well, like this weekend, if you're going to watch Tottenham this weekend, that is a Premier League game.
Yes.
Let's just start with that as a baseline. This is their first game in the Premier League this year.
Yes, and what they ultimately play for, the domestic title, right? We've talked about that, 38 weeks, okay?
That's the English, domestic, when we say that, it just means English Premier League, Spanish La Liga. Winning that trophy is that, you know, that amount of games, you play everybody twice, up and down, 3 points, 1 point, that's it.
So the prior season will determine a thing called Champions League, which is the best teams in Europe across all of the best leagues, the top leagues in Europe. That is a qualification to get into next year's Champions League. So if your Premier League team finished 1 through 4, they are guaranteed to be in this year's Champions League. Does not mean that they guarantee to be in next year's league. You have to repeat your performance in your league. And again, that's the same across Spain. That's the same across Germany. It depends on how your league is perceived in the world, the amount of teams that you have qualified for the Champions League.
Yes.
So if you see a big Tuesday, Wednesday night game and you're asking yourself, well, why is this German team playing a Spanish team? That is Champions League.
Most likely, yes. There are other competitions. But usually it's Champions League.
Teams 5 through 6 in the Premier League will get
from
to go,
last year.
From last year, we'll get to play in the Europa League, which is the same thing except on a smaller scale than the Champions League. Now, here's the big curveball. There's also something called UEFA League. I'm not even going to get into that.
Don't even bother. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry.
Don't confuse yourself with that.
Jose Mourinho would be pissed at us for leaving him off the table.
And I guess if we're going to do that, the other thing there should be noted is, so there is the let's just stick with England, not to make this too confusing. But every league has some version of this, just so you know. There's the English Premier League. They play these 38 games like we're talking about, mm-hmm. home and away. Then we just talked about Champions League, where
that's your big boy.
Manchester City, Liverpool, Chelsea, Tottenham. Those are the four teams that qualified for that last year. So Tottenham will have a game where they play, you know, on a Saturday or Sunday, and then Tuesday or Wednesday, mm-hmm. usually, they will play a Champions League game. And then they will play the next Saturday, Sunday, and that is a league game potentially. The third thing they have.
Here's the curveball.
This is the other curveball. There's a thing in England, and every other country has one of these. It's like their country's cup for any team in that country that plays soccer.
Mm-hmm.
So in England, that's called the FA Cup. The FA stands for Football Association.
It's the governing body of all professional teams in England.
Yes. So if you are a fifth division, because they have that, they have more than five divisions. Let's say you're a fifth division team.
Like Southend.
Southend, yeah, that's the Shrimpers. That's,
my guys.
That's Beamer's other team, right?
Yes.
My brother roots for Peterborough United. Brother Bone, they're a third division team this year. My actual team that I always root for is Sunderland. They are in the second division championship. Mm-hmm. All of those teams can play in the FA Cup. The FA Cup games are also usually played in midweek. But sometimes they will have a weekend where the league will just be off and all these teams from all around the country will be playing in the FA Cup. And it does start with, I mean, literally anyone can qualify for it. But usually by December, January, when you start seeing those games and they become a little bit bigger, that is where you will typically see teams from the top three divisions, you know, a few of the third division, a few second division, and then a lot of first division teams that will then be in the FA Cup. So you may have a situation where you're sitting there in February and you've decided to root for Tottenham,
mm-hmm.
and Tottenham is playing
Exeter City.
Well, yes, you might play some team you've never heard of.
Yeah.
And they're playing at Exeter City in a stadium you've never even seen. And it may be a lot smaller than the stadium you've become used to watching with Tottenham.
And it's beautiful.
Yes, and their
fans,
it's
a beautiful thing.
For them, it's like, the minor league baseball team gets to play the Yankees and knock the Yankees out, potentially, of this tournament.
At their home field, 8,000-seat ballpark.
Yes. So then you will hear a term with all of these extra tournaments called roster management.
Mm-hmm.
And managing the lineup and trying to figure out what to do with the 18. 18 just means the 18 players that are available to play in a game. 11 are on the field at a time, and then you have 7 subs. So they will, in a week where Tottenham plays Arsenal, big game for them Sunday, okay? Then Wednesday, they have an FA Cup game against Exeter City, let's say, who they should probably beat easily. Then the next Sunday, they have a game with Manchester City. I don't even think that's on their schedule. Let's just say that's how their schedule works, right? So two big Premier League games and then a game in the midweek with Exeter City. Are they likely to play their biggest stars against Exeter City?
No.
No. They're going to rest those guys, and they're going to play a lot of their younger players, their players maybe from some from the youth team that may be brought up, guys that don't get to play a lot, reserves. They'll probably get big minutes in that middle week game because they want to save guys for the other two more important games that are coming up later. Reverse of that could be that maybe Tottenham is in the final four of the FA Cup and they've got their game against, let's say, Manchester United is also in the final four of the FA Cup.
Not going to happen, but yes.
Let's just pretend.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're going to actually, in the midweek game, let's say the previous week they're playing Southampton, who maybe is like a bottom half of the league team. They're expected to be this year. Tottenham might play them on Saturday at, you know, 7 a.m. our time. Then Wednesday, they got the big midweek game for the Final Four FA Cup game. Then the next week, they may have, I don't know, another big boy club, or let's just say, like, I don't know, Leicester City. That's a decent club.
Mm-hmm.
They will probably prioritize that FA Cup game over the game against, you know, Southampton.
Depending on where they're at on the table.
Yeah, if they're easily in the top four and they think they can handle Southampton at home, let's say. Right, so that's some of the strategizing. And that's why this is kind of complicated, but hopefully that makes it a little more simple. I'm glad you brought that up because you're right. Come February, March, it could be like, if you go listen to an English Premier League podcast, it'll be like, oh, well, you know, Tottenham, mate, they've got an FA Cup in the midweek, and then they got this game here. We got to do this. And you got roster management has just been atrocious, mate. Mm-hmm. Oh, they've got no one in the transfer window. And you're just like, what is ever? I don't understand any of this. hopefully that helps you get a little bit through the weeds on that.
And if you do have questions too, tweet us at Bone Beam United.
Yeah, we want to be your resource for all this stuff.
Again,
go to these bars.
Go to the supporters bars. Yes. Pick out a group. And by the way, if you are just getting in and if you want to come down to Zaftig and hang out with the Manchester United groups, even though you already have a predisposition that you hate Manchester United, that is okay. You walk into any soccer bar and they will welcome you with open arms. They will be very, very happy to help you out.
I will tell you this, having been to the Manchester United group that gathers at Zaftig a few times now and hanging out with those people and knowing quite a few of them anyway outside of that, I think if you walked in and you were like, hey, I actually just picked up Newcastle because I like their jersey and I like their beer. And so you wear a Newcastle jersey and they're playing Newcastle, the Manchester United fans will absolutely give you crap for that. But then they will probably, if you're like, hey, man, I'm just a new fan, I heard this was a spot. If you say you listen to this podcast and you just want to check it out, they will probably, they'll give you some playful ribbing, mm-hmm. but they will let you in and like you'll have fun. You will have a good time and you'll probably learn quite a bit about the game too. And it'll be a good time either way. So don't feel like it is just, oh, man, I have to adopt this Manchester United. You don't have to adopt any team. You can just go there and wear regular clothes. But
drink beer and watch soccer.
Or you can be a psychopath like me and every year go commit to a team that's going to get relegated, buy their jerseys, and get really, really upset when things don't go your way. Which, by the way, my team that I picked, my team is Leeds United.
And which, by the way, if you don't know, is a very, very old rivalry between my team, Manchester United, and now your adopted team, uh-huh. and Leeds United.
I may have done that in part because... There's lots of reasons, but certainly one of the benefits of picking Leeds this year was we get to have some fun with that. Now, like I said earlier, I have a team, Sunderland, that I have rooted for. Sunderland was up in the Premier League. Mm. They fell all the way down to Division 3, okay, which is called League 1. Last year, they
finally...
Which
is also confusing.
Yes. There's Premier League, then Championship is the second division.
Tier 2, yep.
Then League 1, which is the third division. League 2, which is the fourth division. And then the fifth division is called...
The Conference Premier.
Give up is what it's called. Just walk away.
It's called... Yes. It's called go and buy that team.
Yeah. Well, actually, if you've seen the previews for Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhaney, they bought a team called Wrexham, which is really a team in Wales. They bought that team. They are a fifth division team.
Yeah.
And they have a documentary series coming out about them buying the team and some of their struggles last year, I'm guessing. I haven't watched it yet, but it's coming out soon, I think, on Hulu. So,
sure,
whatever. Or maybe FX. I don't remember. Anyway, point is, that's like, if you do watch that and you're like, oh, that's cool. Just know, they're a fifth division team.
Yeah.
Sunderland has a thing about them. They were a third division team when they shot those documentaries about Sunderland. Now they are back up in the second division. But since I don't have a team in the Premier League, every year I like to float. Leeds is the team I went with this year.
You're, I believe, 2-for-2 on your relegations the past couple of years.
I picked Fulham 2 years ago. I picked Watford last year, mm-hmm. and I'm sorry to all my Watford fans, like my buddy Grant, who is actually – I have a buddy who is a diehard Watford fan, and I picked the team last year, and he was like, what are you doing to me?
Yes,
I'm like, I'm sorry. And so Leeds United's fans, I'm sorry. If there is, by the way, a Leeds United supporters group, or if you're someone who is a Leeds United fan and you want to just – you and me go to a bar and we'll call it a Leeds United supporters group this year, let me know. Hit me up at Degenerate T-Bone, at Bone Beam United. We can make that happen. Let's talk about, I actually like get into some analysis of some of the teams and then we'll kind of wrap this thing up and talk about what we think is going to happen this year. One little rule that should be noted, mm-hmm. It's a change that's been made due to COVID and now it's been made permanent. The Premier League, just like many other soccer leagues around the world, for years used to have 3 subs was the max.
Yep.
So again, this is for people who've never watched soccer, don't know this. You don't get to like sub in, sub out like hockey or basketball.
Correct.
Or football. It's more like baseball where once a guy's out of the lineup, he's done for the day.
Yep.
Like when they pull that guy off in the 70th minute, let's say, he gets the big signboard held up, they hold his number up and it says, come off the field. And there's the guy jumping around, mm-hmm. standing there, getting ready and getting, he's all excited going, that guy's replacing him for the rest of the day. Even if that guy goes out and then, you know, gets a horrible injury, well, then you have to sub someone in for him,
yep.
but you can't sub the old guy back in. That guy's out. Once that's done, it's done. Now they've increased that from 3 to 5, which is kind of weird because some of the bigger clubs, I think, like, it was thought initially, like, oh, this will be good because then the smaller clubs can – put more players on the field and have more chances. And it's like, no, the big clubs have guys making $30, $40 million. Yeah. They're sitting on their bench. That's going to benefit the big clubs again. So Manchester City's of the world, the Liverpools, the Chelsea's, the Manchester United's, technically, Arsenal, Tottenham, those teams are going to benefit a lot more than, let's say, Crystal Palace or Brentford or Villa. Those teams are not going to have as much firepower on the back end of their bench. They may have two or three youth players, not guys making $20 million a year.
So it's been long criticized, the Premier League schedule. If you go across and, you know, you talk to people who are German soccer fans or, you know, German soccer coaches or Spanish soccer coaches or whatever, there's usually a mid-season break, which occurs over here, or I guess I should say over there in these leagues. That doesn't happen in the Premier League. There's no stop start. Now, they will stop for international break. They will stop for the World Cup, which makes roster management this year that much more important. Because if you pick one of these big clubs, chances are players who are representing you at your club level are going to also be representing their country at a national level, and they will be playing in meaningful soccer games in the month of November and in December. And I want to say the Premier League starts back up like 8 days after the World Cup final, like 7 days a week. So this thing is going to keep going pretty rapidly. And I actually like this from the Premier League in deciding to do this and stick with the five subs. I just think it gives your team so much more balance. And when you're playing this many games in this season, especially, and going off the heels of COVID too, I mean, let's remember, like, these guys have been playing nonstop almost for two years. They have not had a normal year in a long, long time. I say normal in air quotes. I mean, some of these guys are playing 55, 60, 70 games in a year. I want to say that Mo Salah played in like 73 games last year.
It's ridiculous.
It's just something outrageous, like whatever it was for club and country. So anytime you're able to steal 15, 20, 30, 45 minutes off of a clock and save the player's legs, I think this is fantastic. And Premier League coaches have just bitched and moaned the time. All the time about like workload. Well, now you get two additional subs, which should be able to help balance that thing out.
Yes, they complain about that. And then if you see what they're doing this offseason, where it's like, oh, where are you going? Oh, nine different countries and playing 12 games in each country. Like, yes, you're playing all these games in all these countries and you're complaining, oh, these guys play too much, but let's go grab some cash and go play to, let's go to Singapore and have, man, you know, all these teams playing over there. It's so sometimes I feel like the managers will complain no matter what. Just like in any sport, you're going to have managers who complain. I would say like Premier League managers in some ways are very similar to big-time college football coaches in that way, where they complain about things, but it's like the ones who complain the most are the ones who have the most resources.
Correct.
Which is really weird. But anyway, so there you go. That is an added in World Cup, like you said. It's congested already with FA Cup and for some teams, Champions League and all these other competitions along with your Premier League. Now you're taking a month of the season and saying, oh, yeah, a lot of clubs are going to be without their best stars. And they're going to limit the amount of games they're going to play during that time. Obviously, they're going to shut all that down. But now you're going to have even further congestion of all these games. And some of the best players are going to need some time to recover from the World Cup. It's going to be a really weird season in that regard. All right, so let's break down the season this year. Like I said, last year, the top four, Manchester City, Liverpool, Chelsea, Tottenham. Really, it's the top two, City and Liverpool, separated by a point apiece. Then Chelsea, Tottenham, and Arsenal right there, too. Those three were kind of in the mix for the final two spots last year.
Yep.
After that, it was Manchester United on 58 points, West Ham 56, Leicester 52, Brighton, Wolves, and those are the teams that got over 50 points last year. That gets you to the top half of the league, basically. So let's start off with Manchester City, Liverpool.
Okay.
Manchester City added in perhaps the best scorer in Europe in a guy named Erling Haaland, who comes over from Germany, Borussia Dortmund, where he was very, very good.
It makes
ridiculously good.
Me sick.
Manchester City is one of the most dominant teams roster-wise we've seen ever in Premier League history over the last 5 years.
They have
been as dominant as anyone. They have now added in potentially a Ballon d'Or every year guy.
Yeah.
Ballon d'Or being the greatest player in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
That guy, greatest player in the world, not Europe, but usually it comes from Europe. They've added in a guy who, what is Erling Haaland, 22?
I think so.
Something like that. Like, he's a young player. He can be there for 15 years if he wants to be. But yeah, he's He's going to score just an absolute truckload of goals in this system. And so that's their addition. Liverpool had a big addition too this offseason, and Liverpool fans will probably tell you that's the bigger addition this year.
No doubt. So Darwin Nunez comes over for Liverpool. I know all the Liverpool fans that I know are very excited to see this guy. His first time in the preseason, not great. Had some bad mistakes, and then what does he do the next game? Oh, he just goes out and scores a hat trick. So off and running. It's preseason, so ultimately we'll see what happens. So the way that at least I have tiered the Premier League for this year.
Yeah.
It's Liverpool and it's City, and then it's your, like what you mentioned, the teams that can compete and possibly have an outside shot for the top four, and then it's kind of the rest. Manchester City and Liverpool are way up at the top.
There's no doubt that they will be making the Champions League next year. They are in Champions League this year, clearly. So
really, there are only two spots available.
Their goals, those two teams, their goal is we want to win the Premier League.
We want to win everything.
We want to win the FA Cup. Mm-hmm. We want to win the Champions League. Probably Champions League is their number one.
Well, yeah, because Pep has failed to do that.
Yes, Pep Guardiola, the head coach of Manchester City. He has not been able to get that.
Hate to see it.
Yeah, you do. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, Jurgen Klopp is one of those guys that we were talking about who a lot of people love him. He has a lot of fun moments. Jurgen Klopp is a serial complainer about how many games they have to play. And again, it's like Jurgen. Again, this is like Nick Saban saying, man, I can't believe they make us play all these games at the college football playoff. It's like, but Nick, you're good. That's why they make you play those games, because Alabama's good. Like, and by the way, you have a billion NFL players on your Alabama roster. That's what Liverpool is. They play a lot of games. Manchester City plays a lot of games because they're the best and they get in every tournament and they are going far in those tournaments and they always have a chance to win them.
It's going
to
come down, like I said, for me, at least for the Premier League title, and anything could happen in Champions League when you get in there, and of course the FA Cups. Those are the two best teams in the league. It'll be interesting to see. I know it hurt Liverpool fans. I guess they got the good and the bad. You got Nunez to come over, but you did have to say goodbye to Sadio Mane, which I know was one of the favorites of all time for Liverpool fans. He made a transfer this summer. He goes to Bayern Munich. There's going to be a lot of pressure now on Diogo Jota to be able to come in and kind of be that supply guy, that playmaker, in which we were so familiar in seeing with Sadio Mane. Of course, Mo Salah inking a new contract extension with Liverpool. I know his future was kind of in flux when you got talking about that. But, like I said, it's City, it's Liverpool are going to be the top two. I was actually having this conversation with neighbor Eric the other day. We may have been drinking some. Expectations for you, an over-under number on Erling Haaland goals for Manchester City.
For Erling Haaland, I don't think 25 is out of the question.
So we were having this conversation. We set the number at 25. 25 and a half was our overall under number.
You know what? Then I'll take the over. I think he'll be over 25.
I slated it at 30. I'm like, this guy is just, you already put him in one of the most dynamic offenses. Everybody is so linked at the hip in their style of play that you just literally are going to just feed the ball in the middle. And oh yeah, there's this gargantuan 6'6" platinum blonde hair menace, a guy who can run 30 miles an hour and hit a soccer ball 300 miles an hour. That's going to be an absolute problem for everybody.
In terms of the Premier League, he has, like, when LeBron James came into the league and everyone said, we don't physically know how to stop this guy. That's what Erling Haaland, I'm not saying.
And usually the argument is the other way around. Like, oh, you're coming to the Premier League, we'll be able to stop.
No. Like he has a body type and a physicality that very few players ever possess in world soccer, let alone in the Premier League. And then the skill to go with it. And he's a huge guy. No one's going to knock him off the ball. He should be able to get 25 goals easy.
He terrifies
me. If the number is 25 and a half over under, I'm taking the over on that.
Yeah.
We talked a lot about Manchester City and how good they're going to be. Liverpool's also going to be extremely good. And I know the Liverpool fans will get very mad that we're kind of just being like, oh yeah, they'll be good too. But these are the two teams. These are the teams you watch for that. Chelsea, let's move to them real quick. Mm-hmm. Because so they get a few different things going for them, right? They missed out on some targets that they wanted. They really wanted a guy who played last year for my now Leeds United. They were hoping to bring in Rafinha from Leeds United.
He goes to Barcelona.
It did not happen. He went to some other piddly club named Barcelona.
Yeah.
If you don't know Barcelona, you never heard that name, that is a team that is constantly struggling to make its mortgage payment. That's yes. what they do. So mm-hmm. they just don't have any money, but yet they get everybody. They don't make their mortgage payment, but then they have a Jag in the driveway. And yeah. you're like, how did they do that?
And a private jet.
And a private jet. And no one knows. And then the next week they're like, oh yeah, I couldn't pay the lawnmower guy to come and cut my lawn. But then they're like, why are you in Greece right now? You're just on a
don't
trip
worry
in Greece.
About it.
Yeah. So anyway, Chelsea, they do get an addition though. They added like Manchester City casts off Raheem mm-hmm. Sterling.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, we've got Erling Haaland coming in. Chelsea's getting the third best team in the Premier League, arguably. They get Raheem Sterling and they're like, whoa, like this is a game. This guy. And he is like, he's still really good. He can still be a game changer for your team.
Yeah, him and Pep at City just, I don't know if they had a falling out, whatever. It just, there was a clash, and you'll see that happen. I mean, yeah. coach comes in, he's in obviously favor with him, and then over time, it just, you kind of get played out of the system and you go somewhere else. And I think this is a dynamic addition for Chelsea and Thomas Tuchel and what they're going to be able to do. Again, a big loss for them. We'll see if Timo Werner can actually put the ball in the net this year. I mean, that guy had more chances on either a one-on-one against the goalie or on an open net situation in which he just cannot finish. That's a different story for a different day. Going to be relying on him heavily. Romelu Lukaku got shipped back to Inter.
Yes. He is back in Italy. He previously yep. was in Italy and then had been Belgian national player who had made it back to Chelsea, and that was thought to be a huge partnership. It didn't quite work out, I think, as planned. It was a good partnership. It wasn't maybe all it could have been.
But. Yeah. But I just look at this Chelsea team under Thomas Tuchel. They won the Champions League a few years ago. Again, so big time expectations, no doubt. What does this mean for Christian Pulisic with Raheem Sterling? I think we could talk until we're blue in the face until that season actually gets underway. I don't think we have any idea of what Christian Pulisic is going to do, but no. certainly big expectations for Chelsea this year.
Yeah. Let's go to Tottenham. We talked a little bit about them. I mean, they are a team that, again, had some good success last mm-hmm. year. Finally got into that Champions League spot again. You know, we'll see if they can maintain that this year. They are going to have a challenge, of course, from Arsenal, who is right on their heels. They are arch rivals. And Arsenal, I mean, has to feel kind of really unlucky they didn't get up to the Champions League on one hand. On the other hand, better than the performances they've had over the last few years. Finally, like, they were what, the ninth or tenth a couple years ago?
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
Bad.
Like, I mean, yeah, for them, that's not where they're supposed to be, a top four club.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to desperately break through and this year be the Champions League team again, get back fully up there. Mikel Arteta, their head coach, got a couple of reinforcements.
Gabriel Jesus coming over from Manchester City, which again, you sign Erling Haaland. Okay. Just going to.
Right. Like that's how
Gabriel Jesus, by the way, is still very young and still very good. This is a fantastic addition for Arsenal. I love this. I love Gabriel Jesus. Him playing for City, I think, is so dynamic, and I think this year he's going to be ultimately better at Arsenal. That pressure starts to turn up there at City, and he goes by the wayside. Another interesting piece as well for Arsenal's main rival, Tottenham, is that they brought in Richarlison as an insurance piece behind Harry Kane. So how do those two work out? Richarlison, formerly of Everton,
yes.
he gets shipped out this summer. Heung-min Son is, if you're just looking for fun players to watch,
he's
world-class, ultimate nice guy as well. He is a Korean player that plays for Tottenham, and you watch him dribble the ball up that left side, and he will be one of your favorite players immediately.
There are players in world soccer, or in soccer anywhere, that just... Their ability to dazzle mm-hmm. is kind of a thing that can elevate your opinion of them, even if maybe they aren't. I mean, he's a great player. I'm not taking anything away from him. But
sure.
then you see that, again, it's like if you watch hockey and you see a guy who can just do amazing things on the puck with, you know, slicing through defenses mm-hmm. and things like that. Does he score the most goals? No. Is he one of the most fun players to watch? Absolutely. And he does score a lot. I mean, he can score. He's very good. But that's, you're right. There's some fun players to watch there on Tottenham as well. All right. Before we get out of here, let's talk about the two teams that we're rooting for. Mine just for this year. Yours for, I don't know, an eternity mm-hmm. locked in hell.
Yeah.
yes. Let's go with your team,
it
Manchester.
It makes sense that they're the Devils. Now you yes, are in your own personal
Devils,
hell every
yeah.
week.
Manchester United. Okay. Sixth. Not where they want it. They, again, they also think they're a top four team. They mm-hmm. should be. That's their mm-hmm. expectation every year. Their neighbors in the city, Manchester City, are, you know, killing everyone. So, Manchester United, expectations this year, Beamer, They did not have the offseason that I think you would have preferred or most Manchester United fans would prefer. They did not bring in a ton of top-name talent this year.
No, they did not. They did not.
I'm putting that mildly.
You bring in Christian Eriksen, which I know we detailed last year in the summertime, his scary, scary incident that happened when his heart stopped on the field in the Euros playing for Denmark. He got back into the Premier League.
A guy who almost died playing soccer,
literally
basically
on the field. And if there wasn't a player that signaled an EMT to come back and jumpstart his heart, then we could be talking about a different story entirely. Yeah. He signed for Brentford last year. He comes over. I'll be interested to see how they get added to that midfield with Manchester United. Of course, the big storyline, will Cristiano Ronaldo play for United this year? We have no idea. They have been a mess. They hired Ralph Raniak, who I think fell on the sword last year for United. You have to bottom out to get better. That ultimately ended up with multiple former longtime staffers for Manchester United going by the wayside and quitting the club. Ralph Raniak calling them out publicly. I think they want to obviously get back to what they were under Sir Alex Ferguson. How long is that going to take? I don't know. You bring in Erik ten Hag, who was the coach at Ajax and had a ton of success over in the Netherlands. All signs in the preseason are indicating that, okay, everybody who has seemed to be on the outside looking in is now going to have a second chance. Anthony Martial, they shipped him out last year on loan. He comes back. He's going to be a permanent fixture, it seems, in this team for the foreseeable future. Can Marcus Rashford gain his form back? Jadon Sancho, he comes over last year and is a big-time acquisition from Borussia Dortmund. A little bit disappointing. They have not added in the midfield except for Christian Eriksen, and by now maybe Frankie de Jong is done. I have no idea. But this defense under Harry Maguire being the captain, it gives me the nervous shakes. I think Fred has had – Fred, by the way, doesn't get a lot of love. I love Fred. Fred is my guy.
Yes.
He said one of the best quotes of all time, I carry the piano on my back so I can let the players play it.
That is right, and that's exactly what a player in his position is supposed to do.
So
that's very well put by him, and I love that quote.
I do too. When it comes for expectations this year – I think it's going to be a little more consistent than last year. I mean, remember, Ole was in charge last year at the beginning of the year. He got axed. Ralph Raniak comes in. He gets axed. He's not even longer with the club. So it is Erik ten Hag's team now. This is a long-term play for United. I expect maybe them to challenge into the last 8-10 weeks of the season for Champions League. Ultimately falling short, though, but I think it's a better point total from United this year than it was last.
Yeah, yeah, I think so, too. And I think they will be a better team this year overall under new management. I do think Erik ten Hag will have them playing a lot better. So is that enough for them, though, to get up to Champions League, do you think, this year? Or is that – I don't think so either. I think they are probably more like where Arsenal was last year. Not that they were that far off from Arsenal last year anyway, but, like, I think they're more along the lines of a team that probably is hovering in that position. I guess they were doing that last year too. They were hovering in the top four for a moment, but yeah, they really need to be solidly hovering, I guess is what I'm going to say. Is a good expectation. Solidly hovering in the top
four. And also not get your ass kicked by City and Liverpool every time you play.
You gotta show up better in those games. Even if you don't win them, you've got to show up better. That's atrocious. That is a very big disappointment.
I know everybody feels bad for me.
Yeah, that's how most people do about Manchester United. They look at them as the plucky underdogs. That's right. No one ever feels like maybe that's his karma coming back to you after 20 years of ridiculous success. But anyway, let's talk about their rival and a team at the opposite end of the spectrum here. Even for Manchester United, I still say, you know, top six team versus a team that's firmly going to be in the bottom six this year. That is my Leeds United that I've adopted.
Lily Whites.
Why did I adopt Leeds United? Well, few reasons. One, I was looking for something that would annoy Beamer.
Yep.
Job done. Also, I like the fact that, you know, finding players that I can root for, that I can easily identify with, or that I can, you know, say, oh, I've got an interest there. Why am I rooting for this team? I like this player.
What better way to do that with these guys?
You have two players for this team that will contribute significantly in Brendan Aaronson and Tyler Adams, who are both U.S. national team players who have specifically are playing at Leeds United because they are going to be playing for the U.S. men's national team in the World Cup. They are looking to stay in top shape and top form for that. Obviously, this is a great opportunity for them, right?
Yes.
To play in the Premier League. Tyler Adams finally gets to do that. after playing for many years in Germany. So, or a couple of years. Was he in Germany or Austria? I always forget. He was in Germany. That's right. So playing for the Red Bull system, that is where he played in New York. So Tyler Adams finally getting to get that Premier League shot is a huge deal. Same for Brendan Aaronson, also a product of kind of a similar pathway, right? Going through the Red Bull system. That is also where their head coach comes from.
Yes.
Jesse Marsh took over last year, middle of the season, and took over that Leeds United team. And
by the way,
helped them avoid relegation.
Unbelievable job by him.
He did a great job. Yes. And Jesse Marsh previously played in MLS, was a U.S. men's national teamer. He coached at New York's or at Red Bull. Red Bull. Why am I blanking on there? I don't know why I'm saying Red Bull. Weird. Yes. He coached for the New York Red Bulls and then went over, and Red Bull owns three teams, right? Mm-hmm. The one in New York, the one in Austria, the one in Germany. And then he coached at the Austrian team for a while and then eventually got this call up to now go to Leeds United.
It's like a feeder system. Exactly like their F1 team. It's the same thing. If you're an F1 fan, it's the same thing.
It is very much so. All right. So Jesse Marsh, American head coach. Leeds has had three American head coaches, which is kind of shocking to me, but he is their third American coach in their history. But just the fact that I'm looking for a connection. That's kind of the Team America this year. Mm-hmm. Fulham has been Team America before because they've had some American players. Mm-hmm. But in this case, Leeds United, my guys, rooting for them. The additions that they've made this year, their defense was atrocious last year, which is something you're usually going to hear from a team that's in the bottom half of the league. But they were really bad. Here's how bad it was. The improvement they made under Jesse Marsh was that in the final 2 months of the season, they allowed 19 goals. And that was better than eight other Premier League teams. Mm-hmm. So they finished like almost at the top half of goals allowed in the final 2 months of the season. Like not even a long period of time. So if the defense can continue to improve, that would be a good sign. However, we mentioned Rafinha going to Barcelona. Chelsea wanted him. Rafinha played for Leeds United, and that was their leading goal scorer. He had, I think, 11 or 12 goals. He's gone. You lose him. You lose Calvin Phillips, who also now goes to Manchester City, which, hey, rich get richer on that.
Yep.
So you lose some really good players. Who do they bring in to help with that? They brought in winger Luis Sinisterra from Feyenoord on a £22 million transfer. They also brought in Marco Roca, who signed from Bayern Munich, for a shade over £10 million. So they are trying to shore up the defense there. Tyler Adams is certainly being brought in to help with the defense, too. We'll see if that's enough.
Aaronson's helping with the goal scoring.
Yeah, Aaronson should be a prime opportunity for him to get some goals. I mean, I don't think he's going to be a double-digit goal scorer. Would love to be proven wrong on that, by the way. But if he could get 6 or 7 goals chipped in and really just be kind of a key part of their offense, that's what I'm looking for him. Can they avoid relegation? That's the big thing.
I mean, yes.
I hope so. I hope yes, but they lost a lot of production. So it's going to be a fight. It's going to be tough. I really only care if they beat
one thing is guaranteed,
Manchester United two straight times. That's
one
all
thing
really
is guaranteed. You are going to break the curse this year. They will not be relegated.
Thank you.
And two, Jesse Marsh is always going to look sweet on the sideline.
Jesse Marsh is one of the most handsome mangs to ever grace the sidelines of a Premier League game. All right. We hope that primer was good for you. Sorry if we didn't mention your team. I know we mentioned like only a handful of teams, but we hope to see you out at a supporters bar, hopefully at Zaftig Italian Village, and we're looking forward to it. But enjoy this season. It'll be a lot of fun. We will see you guys next week, where we talk about the first week of the Premier League season. Beamer will be hosting that one solo. I will not be here. Till then, enjoy the soccer.